welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, February 19th, 2012, as we record this. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And you're in Texas.
Yes, I am in Texas.
You're not in Florida.
I am in McAllen, Texas.
My whole world view is upset.
Why? Well, we have recorded the show, like, on many, many occasions, like, me and being in different locations. Now, it's been a long time, the last time I was somewhere else, but yeah, I mean, we've done this before.
I don't know, it's just, Yvonne in Texas, it just seems wrong.
Yeah, well, I will say this, I am almost in Mexico.
Well, okay, that makes it better, I guess.
Yeah, I can see the border from here, basically.
Have you shot any illegal immigrants trying to cross over?
Yes, yeah, like one a day since I've been here.
Okay, because that's like the big sport down there, right?
Absolutely, you know. It's just this whole, you know, being here, it just always reminds me. Florida, even though we have a lot of immigrants, it's not like... I mean, immigrants arrive by plane. It's not the same thing as being on the border itself, because you drive through here in McAllen, Texas, and there are many cars with Mexico license plates driving in town, okay? Mm. It's a very common thing.
Right.
And, everybody else that's far away has this skewed perspective of what it is to be on the border, okay? That, you know, the people that live here just... do not understand, like, why all these people have this strange purview. Like, they think it's just some kind of, like, a crazy, like, I don't know, dangerous and, you know, like, scary thing to live on the border. And it's just nothing of the sort at all. And, I mean, everybody here interacts across the border on a regular basis. And that's part of the business. This is why many of the people that live, like, here, or just this whole thing about building a fence and doing all this shit, it's just nonsense. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I was just talking about, they're building a new bridge, a bigger bridge, in order to connect Mexico better with town. What they're doing actually is they're to divert commercial traffic through one bridge and to allow regular vehicle commuter traffic to go through the other bridge. I just saw, like, a little bit further down here. So, I mean... you know, this is the way of life here. And, I mean, a lot of towns, not just here, but if you go on the Canadian border, it's the same thing. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I talked to some people that also, I got friends of mine that live near the Canadian border, very, you know, annoyed at all these idiotic restrictions, you know? I mean, these people were not like, I mean, over here, it's not like it's them or us. I mean, you know, this is like they interact and live together, you know, all the time, you know? And it's, I don't know. They get caught up in these stupid, like, political football, you know, regarding the border and immigration and that shit, you know? So, anyway, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, if it becomes an issue in this year's election, we'll undoubtedly talk about immigration some more. But
you know what? It doesn't seem like, you know, that's kind of funny. I think, you know, if you think about all the other elections, you remember was McCain the one that was like all of a sudden got really big behind the stupid like fence thing and how immigration had been a hot topic? I mean, it just has not seemed to be a major issue this year. You used to have, what was it, in 2008, you had Tancredo running. You know, and, you know, his other idiots, but I don't know. I guess nobody has made a big thing about it this year.
So far, I wouldn't count it out completely. It depends on, you know, who gets to be the nominee and all that. But, it's been boiling more at the local level with, you know, what Arizona was doing and all this kind of stuff.
Right,
but,
right. And, but not the national level.
And what was the state? Was it Mississippi who really cracked down on illegal immigrants working
Alabama.
In Alabama? And then, and it helped destroy their own economy?
Yeah, that's totally brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I got a nice cough here. Anyway... and we got that sheriff that just this week who is one of the big proponents of the Arizona anti-immigrant, anti-illegal immigrant legislation, who was just caught, you know, because his ex-gay lover was blackmailing him to let people know about their relationship because his ex-gay lover was indeed an illegal immigrant.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, so, over here, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you the one story I saw over here about a sheriff. There was a guy that recently filed to for a sheriff's post in a town nearby here. Okay, and he was running the Democratic primary. And I don't know. The guy was stopped by the Texas Highway Patrol, and they found $1 million in cash in his trunk.
Okay.
And by the way, he is not. I will admit, I've got to give him credit. He has clammed up entirely. He hasn't spoken a word. You know, they asked him, look, they would ask him, can we, you know, there was something suspicious about how the guy was acting, and they said, can we search your vehicle? No. And I guess he got a canine dog over, and he, you know, it was all bundles in the trunk, and they were like, you know, they used to be, it was drug money, so there was like, you know, you could get a faint smell of cocaine or something, and the dogs were able to pick on that, and then they opened it. There was $1 million in his trunk, but the guy ever they found it. So what's this? What's that? Whatever. And hasn't spoken one word. He's been in jail for a week now. Of course, the one thing it was kind of funny was, you know, they did jail him for $1 million bail, and we were like saying, well, can you wait? You got my money. I can get out.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that it didn't. I mean, you know, because he's still in jail. So yeah.
But you know that they always say this is the smart thing to do if you're in an encounter with the police about pretty much anything. Just ask for your lawyer and shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Regardless, you may be innocent as the fresh fallen snow.
But just do not say anything. Just shut up. I want my attorney. I want my attorney. I want my attorney. I want my attorney. You don't say anything else. But that's what the guy has done. Not uttered a word. Well, I think he's going to have a little bit of difficulty winning the primary, though, after that.
You think?
Yeah, he may. It may be. I don't know.
It shows entrepreneurial spirit.
It does, you know. A lot of people, you know, they're giving credit to that. Of course, I don't know. Mr. Romney is not getting that much traction given the fact that he was an entrepreneur, so I don't know.
Yeah, so we have three actual topics for today, I think. So we're going to talk about Mountain Lion, which Apple announced this week in a different way than they normally do these things. We're, of course, going to talk about the Republicans. They've been doing more stuff. We're in sort of a lull between contests, but they've still been doing stuff. And and I was thinking of talking a little bit about there was a case where they just arrested somebody, you know, who theoretically was trying to blow up the Capitol or, you know, explode a bomb near the Capitol or something like that. But it was based on a sting operation, and I want to talk less about that particular incident as stings
the sting out, yeah, because there's been a number of them the last few years. Yeah,
and so you know, there's our agenda. So yeah, actually let's take a quick break. I know hasn't been that long, but let's take a quick break and we'll jump right in with one of these three topics. Okay, enjoy your break. Sniffle, sniffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, Yvonne started talking just before I came back from break here. Yeah, I've got like some kind of cold thing going on, and you know, I and actually, you know, the last couple the last few days, I've occasionally, like, all of a sudden started feeling, like, really crappy and, like, you know, face full and blah, blah, blah. And I think, I was talking to Brandy about it, and she made me, like, go to one of those machines in the drugstore. I think my blood pressure has been spiking.
Dude, oh boy.
Yeah, like, because I saw the highest blood pressure reading I've ever seen.
What did you see?
Oh, I don't remember the number, but it was like, it wasn't like super, super high, but it was the level above normal.
Okay, dude, you got to start losing some weight and doing some exercise, buddy boy.
Yeah. And I'll check it out with my doctor too, but like, it was weird. I was like, this doesn't feel good. So, anyway.
Well, I've got
a massive cold. Too.
Blood pressure needs to be measured multiple times. It's not just one reading. One reading at the time.
Normally I am like closer to normal, but like what's been happening apparently is my symptoms have matched this of like just a short term blood pressure spike of like an hour or something. Because like I'll suddenly like be feeling like this, and then it goes away after an hour or two.
Interesting.
Yeah. So aside from my medical issues. colds suck, by the way. Mountain lion. Do you want to do mountain lion next?
Let's talk about mountain lion.
So, Apple, in the past, whenever they've released these operating systems, they've done it at, like, major conferences, like WWDC, or they hold a special event, and they invite all the press, and they say, hey, this is going to be our next thing, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, this time they did it in a very different way, which was they picked, a hand-selected small group of journalists and bloggers and briefed them on it a week or two in advance. I guess it was a week in advance. And briefed them on it and then gave them all MacBook Airs with the beta of the developer preview of the new operating system on to play with. And then gave them an embargo time and said, okay, after this time, you can talk about it. And I guess they put it on their website at the same time. But it's a different way of releasing than they've done before. Which I guess is interesting in and of itself. They did it completely like, everybody was expecting something about the new Apple operating system to come out this summer. This is like early. And so I guess the scheduling and all that is interesting. There's the thing itself. I don't know. Yvonne, do you have any thoughts?
I think that one thing, I mean, look, Steve Jobs is no longer with us. Okay.
Yeah. The way things will start being done differently.
Yeah, I mean, and let's face it. I mean, I think it would have felt really weird, to be honest, to have somebody stand up there like if he was Steve Jobs and doing a presentation. I mean, I've seen almost all guys at Apple like do presentations.
Yeah, they ain't no Steve Jobs.
No, neither is Tim.
Some of them can barely speak.
Yeah, and I think it's a recognition that things are, I think it's probably a good thing to not, do something different about it, I guess. Not just try to, like, continue in the same way.
So here are some of the things that are highlighted on Apple's site. And there are undoubtedly all kinds of other things. But and I guess we can talk about each one of them as we hit. First is Messages, which is... Yeah, bringing like iMessage from the iPhone back to the desktop. It replaces iChat, and we talked about this as soon as the iPhone came out. Everyone was asking, where's iChat for the iPhone? And as soon as iMessages came out, everyone was like, why can't you like integrate this with? Where's this on the desktop? And et cetera, et cetera. So this is the grand unification of these things, apparently.
Okay.
And so basically with this messaging system, you're like, if you're going back and forth messaging somebody on your phone, it's also there on your desktop and you can reference that same conversation and just pick it up there if you want.
That sounds cool.
And vice versa. And of course, you can talk to anybody who's got an Apple ID and has their iMessage set up. iMessage, of course, also is text messages. I'm not sure exactly how that syncs in. It's all unified. So if you try to video chat somebody, it connects to FaceTime or whatever, and all that's all integrated as one thing. So basically, it's taking a whole bunch of things that were separate. iMessage on the iOS devices, iChat on Macs, FaceTime, and like smushing them all back together into one thing. You can apparently download a beta of this right now. I have not yet, and I'll talk about that in just a second.
Nah, I'm not installing a freaking beta. No, but well, let me correct myself. I can't anyway.
You can't? Oh, because you're
right.
You're not on Lion? What?
No, I'm not on Lion.
Ah. Okay. Oh, because your computer's too old.
Yeah.
That's right. And this is Lion only. But I'll tell you that. I guess I'll just jump to this. The beta thing, I used to be all over jumping on betas and early copies of things and trying them out as soon as they were available, blah, 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 blah. You know, I just don't have time for that anymore. I mean, because here's my thought process on all of this. This may be really nice, but if there's a problem and it screws things up,
right,
it takes time to fix that crap and put it back how it was and figure out the issues and blah, blah, blah. Right. And, you know, I've got plenty of other stuff to spend my time on. I don't have an extra couple hours to screw around with software that's not working quite right yet.
I totally agree. I will tell you this. I've got two computers. I got two Macs at home. Okay. One is actually running Leopard, okay, which is the last version that computer will support. Okay. And the other one is running Snow Leopard, which is the last version that computer will support. So I have two Macs, and neither will support Lion.
Now, I am pretty religious about, you know, non-beta. If it's final real software, you know, I'm on the most recent copies. I'll upgrade as soon as upgrades are available, or within a week.
I mean, I do have what the latest version of the software is.
Yeah, don't get I understand.
Wrong. It's just that my computer will not support anything newer than that. And here's the thing about computing over the last decade, if you think about it. You know, look, my computer that I have with Leopard, okay, which is, you know, I don't know. So that computer's got to be, oh, geez, 8 years old right now at this point. Works fairly well. I mean, it's got Office, it's got web browsing, I've got my mail, I've got my files, I've got my stuff. And I keep thinking, I'm like, there's nothing quantum to me yet that makes me like compelled to like switch it.
Yeah, and I can see that, you know, because fundamentally,
I'm using Office 2004 in that one, for God's sakes, and I'm like, okay, it works fine.
Well, look, at this point, you know, computing power long, long ago passed the level you need for like, you know, email and word processing, you know? So the needing a bigger and badder and faster computer or whatnot is driven by new things. Like, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to be doing lots of video editing. Or, you know, I want to have all, you know, play the latest games that use all the flashiest new things and are very intensive or whatever. Or, you know, there are all kinds of other things that add to those needs, but they're new things. You know, if you are happy doing the same things on your computer that you did a few years ago, then your old computer's probably fine as long as it doesn't die.
Right. I mean, that's what I've figured like right now. I mean, I'm just like, I mean, look, I mean, I'm looking at some of these features. Yes, I do like the whole iChat thing.
Okay, let's move on from that real quick. I just want to say, iMessages, it's not entirely clear how it all works with the legacy things. Like, you know, it used to be connected to, it's still connected to AIM and all those other services, but they're clearly de-emphasizing them in favor of, you know, connecting through Apple's own system.
The people that, I mean, I still log on regularly to some of these, but I got to be honest with you, barely anybody else does.
Yeah, I agree. I see those. You know, when I'm logged into AIM or whatever, it's a wasteland. Where is everybody? Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and iChat and these other programs can hook to Facebook. So I have, for instance, you know, iChat or ADM or whatever I'm using. I have it hooked to Facebook too, so I see those people, because the people who are on, you know, the legacy systems, AIM or Yahoo Chat or whatever, just aren't there anymore. Now, I've heard, you know, there are a bunch of people on GChat too, but, you know, I've paid less attention to that. I've got one person hooked up on there. So moving on, there's the Notification Center, which is also taking something out of iOS, out of iOS 5 specifically.
And a Game Center I see as well, and...
Yeah, well, and the Notification Center is basically a thing that, you know, when you get new messages, when there are updates available, when there are calendar things happening, they show up in the Notification Center. You know, this is like what they have on the phone. I've also heard people talking about this being similar to what Growl does.
Well, okay, maybe Steve read my email, or a lot of other people said that. What? For years, I kept sending Steve Jobs emails, like for years, about allowing you to be able to share your computer on a TV.
You're moving on. You're jumping ahead of me, but yes.
Addition is screen sharing in the form of AirPlay mirroring.
Right.
There's a feature that can make whatever's on your screen and beam it to an Apple TV. Nice.
Yeah. You know what they need to do though too? Like okay, fine with the Apple TV. They need to make the Airport Extremes or whatever they're called, to also have a video out. I don't necessarily want an Apple TV, but if the Airport Extreme had a video out, it would be hooked up into my entertainment center the next day.
But the Apple TV is cheap enough. It's $99.
I know. It's the same price as an Airport Extreme. So, yeah, I guess so.
I don't know why you're so against the darn thing. I've had an Apple TV for years. Me and my wife love it.
No, I know. And there's good stuff there. So, I can see that. And I'll be honest, I've been thinking of getting that because, like, you know, we've talked before about how to acquire videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I'm very close to saying I'm done with the little discs, the little silver discs of all sorts. Mm-hmm. You know, I still it's still good for certain things if it's not available online, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But, we have a toddler in the house. The main reason we've had discs is for shows for them. And guess what? They damage them.
That's right.
Yeah, they pick them up, they drop them, they throw them on the floor, they chew on them, whatever. You know, and then, you know, suddenly the thing doesn't play anymore.
Right.
Meanwhile, the video we bought from iTunes, guess what? It works.
Always plays.
We can trivially put it on our iPhones so that you can watch it on the iPhone while we're out, or an iPad or whatever. It's more mobile. It can go over various places. You know, I've bought a few videos at this point too from over my TiVo from services, but then that's more limited too because it's stuck on my damn TiVo. You know, and so I'm coming around to being like, you know, it's not actually stuck to the TiVo. Like the way I buy video on the TiVo, yeah, I could watch it on my desktop computer as well or whatever, but the easy integration with the mobile devices and the fact that, you know, I buy it on my computer. We can watch it on all our computers through home sharing and all that kind of stuff. Very convenient. And if the damn thing's available on iTunes, I'm quite likely to buy it on iTunes. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I can and the screen sharing is useful for all kinds of other things. Back when we haven't got it all set up yet at the new house, but at the old house we had the projector set up. I had an input set up to my computer, so I could trivially like put my projector on the big screen, I mean, my computer on the big projector screen. And I did that on a fairly regular basis, you know. Mostly to, like, I'd do it occasionally to play a game or to watch a video or whatever. But sometimes I'd just do my damn email on the huge screen. You know, hey, why not?
I know.
Anyway, there's also a reminders feature. You know, and this is the kind of thing where I'm not so sure, like, I would use that, to be honest. I mean, there's, okay, fine. There's a built-in, like, to-do list reminder thing now. Okay, that's kind of cool, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. There are all kinds of other ways to do that, and I've never been enamored by the little apps to do it. And I just looking at the screenshot of this one, it's like, okay, whatever. It's not, like, impressing me. Same thing with notes. I mean, this is just like stickies writ large, and the notes app on my iPhone, like, I tried it out once when I first got the phone, and I've never used it again, you know? So I don't know, like, this seems like
the notes actually, I use the notes app actually quite often.
Now,
me and my wife, we do.
Now, I want to be clear. I use an equivalent third party program that does the same kind of thing, but I think a lot better. So I guess I do use the concept. I just don't,
you just
use,
don't
that
use that
particular
app. Yeah. Well, I like the built-in app. I mean, I've been using it, and shares my, and I can see my notes on my computer when I get there as well, which I like and stuff.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing too. Like, the main place I use that kind of thing is actually on my computer, but I have it, like, it's all, I use a program called Simple Note. On the Mac, what's it called? Pivotal Verat? No. That's wrong. I've got it open right here because I take my notes for the show on it. Notational Velocity.
Notational Velocity.
Notational Velocity is the program on the app, and the program it syncs with on iOS is called Simple Note. And there are a whole bunch of programs like this. This is not necessarily the most popular one. There are others that do multimedia and stuff. This one is plain text only.
I just need plain text. I don't need multimedia.
I use it for
meeting notes.
I use this mostly on the computer, and then it syncs to the devices, and I have stuff available. Anyway, I guess the concept of a notes program is not a bad one.
It's just a good concept. I mean, you know,
the interesting part is just building it into the OS, and I guess that's true of, like, most of these features we were looking at. You know, the reminders and to-do lists.
Most people have it built in because they are not people. You get a lot of people that, let's face it, they want to find something by default that they can easily use.
Yep.
Now, later, you become maybe more proficient, and you're like, well, you know what? I would like this feature and whatever other feature. Well, then you can hunt for an app that adds that feature set. But at least you've got something built in that, out of the box, you can go and do that. And, you know, if you choose to get something with more functionality, you can hunt for that. So,
yeah. No, I mean, definitely, like, the trend towards building stuff into the OS started many, many years ago, and it's just going to accelerate because, like you said, most people, you know, don't want to, you know, all the basics, all the things where you can say almost everybody is going to want to do this with their computer. Right. Just build the damn thing in and make it pretty good. And then, yeah, you're always going to have some people who have some specific needs who want to use some third-party program that adds feature X or Y or Z that isn't in the default, but you're gonna have, you know, almost everybody happy with the built-in.
I gotta tell you the one thing about an app. I just saw this week. Okay, so I came over to visit my, you know, I'm over here with my brother and my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is a doctor. Got an app for the iPhone, by the way, where they can monitor people's vital signs at the frickin' hospital on the frickin' phone in the app. Okay. I didn't know that.
That's pretty cool.
You know, it was fucking awesome. She gets a call. She gets a page from the hospital. Yeah, we got patients so and so forth. Blah blah blah. They got this thing. So she goes and she freaking, like, just logs onto her iPhone app, and she can tell, like, I don't know, the rate or whatever, and like a whole bunch of vitals and stuff and whatever. And she can talk to the phone with the person and tell them, oh, do this and whatever on the patient. And I'll be right there. Boom. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I must admit, it's been a long time since I've been impressed by an app. That really impressed me, I got to tell you.
Yeah. You know, it is a good reminder that, you know, while you go to the you know, the most popular apps in the App Store or whatever, and it's a bunch of stupid games and some other stupid fun stuff, but there are, like, real-world useful apps out there, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Know, there's stuff like that. There's, you know, on the medical field, I've also seen that there are apps that for reading, like, you know, MRI files and all this kind of stuff exist, too. And there's various things to help people with disabilities or to do this or to do that. Or, you know, there's a lot of serious apps out there, too. And they're not necessarily the ones that cost 99 cents that you buy on a whim. But, no. You know, there's stuff out there.
Just as a little side comment, I keep logging into Facebook, and Facebook keeps recommending me to become friends with somebody who is a girl that punched my lights out like sometime like 20 years ago.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I'm like, really? I don't think she wants to be my friend.
I don't know. You know, 20 years is a long time. People forgive.
I don't think she'll... I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. So anyway, I don't have much else to say about Mountain Lion. I've seen a lot of people sort of raving about it. I'm kind of underwhelmed, to be honest.
You know what I think is important about this? I think that, let's face it, it's a thing of keeping the OS fresh. It's a thing of always putting in new ideas. It's a thing of not letting something like what happened with Windows and like XP, for God's sakes. And they spent how many years really between real upgrades? Like 7?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for, if you're going to be having an OS out there and you want it to be relevant and you always want it to be bringing in useful features, to continue in an upgrade cycle where you are just always like trying to bring in new ideas into the system. I think it keeps it fresh and I think it keeps it relevant for most people.
No, yeah, I agree. And there are a few other things that I think are important. Like they're combining software update for operating system updates with the updates within the Mac App Store. There's also new security stuff where they're this is actually, we haven't talked about this at all, but one of the interesting features is there'll be increased numbers of warnings if you try to install third-party apps from outside of the App Store. There's going to be a signing process where even if you're not distributing through the App Store, you know, legitimate developers can get their app, you know, signed by Apple after some sort of review, and then the system will complain less. But if you try to install some random thing you download, it'll give you all kinds of warnings you have to agree to before you say yes. And there's a lot of, you know, oh, is this going to stifle third-party developers and blah, blah, blah. And if Apple doesn't like you, then you don't get to run on Macs. And it's not quite there yet, but it's clearly moving further in that direction again, towards the iOS model. I mean, they clearly want to push everybody towards going through the Mac App Store, and we've talked before, there are good reasons for that. For the average person, it's a walled garden, but it's a walled garden where you can feel fairly safe that what you're going to do isn't going to hurt anything. In the last month,
I've met, I think it was at least 2-3 people that had their PCs invaded by fucking up and clicking a wrong link and putting in some bad malware. Okay. And I'm like, really? Is that the experience you want? I mean, that's my point. I mean, it's just retarded, so.
Okay. On that, let's take a break, and we'll be back after this, I guess, talking about some Republicans. We'll be back. Enjoy your break.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
And here we are. You know, when we go into those second breaks, I always keep wanting to say, and it's time for your poem, but of course there are no more poems. You know, maybe I should just start making up poems.
There you go.
Or
there
not.
Go.
Or not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. I could sing more. I need to make more breaks.
Yeah, I probably got to contribute. You got to send me a note to remind me I need to make a couple of breaks. I haven't made a break in a long time.
There you go. So. Make some breaks.
Yeah, I got to remember that. Okay.
Which is different than breaking some makes.
Right. Okay, totally different.
Okay, Republicans.
Republicans. Okay, so, you know, my brother and I both voted for Obama in the last election.
Okay.
And my brother is frustrated so much right now that he is a little bit... Here's the problem. He's considering voting for Romney if he gets to be the nomination. Considering, I didn't say he was going to. But he's just frustrated to a point that he was thinking about it. But then I started going over it, and I'm like, really? You're going to really vote for him? I'm like, I'm just annoyed. I don't know. We don't solve anything, and we don't get anything done. I'm like, but here's the thing. Let's talk about Romney. I mean, I think he's still going to win it, but my God, you know, I know my brother is. What I was saying.
So one thing with the has anything happened? I want to point people. I don't know if you've seen this site. It was out like a number of months ago, but when you ask the question, it just makes me remember it. It's whatthefuckhasobamadonesofar.com.
Probably done a lot.
And it shows one thing at a time. So, for instance, I just brought it up, and it's like, signed financial reform law prohibiting banks from engaging in proprietary trading, trading to banks' own money, blah, 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 blah. Big fucking deal, what else? You click a button, it tells you something else. Big fucking deal, what else? You tell us something else. And there's actually, you know, a decent list of accomplishments here. I think the things that people are disappointed with, yeah, and I've said this before, are the things that were never realistic expectations to begin with. Or things where... is different from what Obama... You know, for the most part, Obama has done what he said he was going to do. And in some cases, people weren't listening carefully to what he said he was going to do. And are upset that he actually is a moderate and isn't, you know, a flaming liberal and isn't willing to push through and fight for things that aren't going to win, that aren't going to get through Congress. He's fighting for things that he knows he can get through.
I think that more of the frustration has to do with the economy. I think that in general,
yeah, okay.
If you ask people, it's not those specific initiatives. It's not that. It's, let's face it, we got a budget deficit projected again this year at over $1 trillion.
Oh, hi, Alex.
And my brother says he could have done that. So we got $1 trillion deficit, and you know there's just doesn't seem to be an end in sight to this red ink, and even though the economy to a certain extent, it's getting better. And actually, I'll tell you this: there was a pretty optimistic article in Barron's, who usually are the doom and gloomers on the economy, highlighting a lot of the positive things that are happening. Okay. But I think people are frustrated that economy and where we're at. That's what I think is the problem. So
you've got a lot of noise there, and I've suddenly got a boy asking for train videos.
Yes. Okay. Well, I fixed the noise problem on my end. So.
I think the crux of the problem.
The crux of the issue is. It's just that people, I think, feel like my, you know, remember this, there's no plan, okay? So he's running a $1.2 trillion deficit, okay? If you look at the budget that Obama presented, okay? It doesn't seem to be trying to solve the problem.
I think
that's the problem.
Hold on.
Go.
Hold on one second, go. Yvonne.
Go.
Pause the recording.
Yeah, hold on.
Because I gotta disconnect. Okay, I gotta reconnect. Because
okay.
I'll
see you in a couple minutes.
Okay, bye.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Okay, I think we're back now. All kinds of chaos broke out there.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But just
on both sides there, like all of a sudden noises were happening on Yvonne's side, and Alex was here demanding to watch train videos. He brought my laptop from downstairs, put it on my lap, and is like, train videos.
Anyway. Right, so we had like a little bit of chaos. But anyway.
I have no idea what you were saying like the last 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So let me just recap that. The main thing I think is a frustration that I think that I see that we and that we have no plan to try to get out of this. I think that both and it's like I think that this is actually, to be honest, what I said is both parties. Okay. Both parties are right now just seem to be treading time trying to figure out who can win this election, but honestly not trying to do anything substantial or radical.
Well, but, okay, you know, and that's normal for an election year.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you think about, it's normal, I guess, at the congressional level, but it's utterly frustrating because I think that we're in a situation where the country has been struggling with a very extended recession, high unemployment, a very high budget deficit, problems on a fiscal level in terms of our entitlement programs, and the fact that everybody has just decided that even though we have these huge problems and all these, you know, let's face it, the Tea Party are supposedly ushered in all these Republicans, right, into Congress in order to try to do something about this, right? I mean, what is the level of frustration those guys are going to have come November when they voted in all these people and honestly they haven't done squat? I mean, is the question. Sam?
You mean the Tea Partiers being upset because their Tea Party people haven't done anything?
The Tea Partiers upset because the Tea Party people haven't done...
Well, the Tea Party... I argue the Tea Party people did what they said they were going to do. They've been obstructive.
But is that why they were voted in? I guess. I mean, I don't think that's why they were voted in. I thought they thought they were going to take some action.
Well,
just be obstructive.
Well, you know, they did the whole, like, trying to keep the debt limit from being raised. Although, in the end, they caved, so I guess.
So they didn't do it. That's my point. So it's not, okay. So did they keep the debt limit from rising? No. Did they propose cuts in order to do it? No. I mean, they didn't do anything. They didn't go, okay, I would have expected if these guys were like this radical, fine. So you go and you sit down and you say, screw it, man. I mean, we're going to propose, these $700 billion in cuts, and we're proposing to cut here, here, here. And we're going to stand our ground until somebody does something about it. They haven't done it. They haven't done anything in that, on that respect. So I don't know. I think that most people, either on both sides of the aisle, whatever your inclination is, I think that you've got to definitely feel that nobody's done a damn thing. And if you look at the congressional approval rating, it's plunged to a all-time low.
And it wasn't high to start with.
It wasn't high to start with, but now it's only at 10%. I mean, you know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, but of course you still have ratings of people's own congresspeople being a bit higher than that, and they'll mostly get reelected.
We have a lot of new faces, like right now. I think that's one thing that you got to say. We have a lot of new faces. Okay, there. Awesome. And so the question is whether... if we have all those new faces, I think that they are most likely, especially if they've been elected in the last 2 years and maybe they went and they promised A, B, C to do, and it didn't happen, that a lot of those could get just as quickly tossed out. I think incumbency is a good thing, but you know, is probably more beneficial when people have been in for a couple of terms, not necessarily when they've been so many freshmen are out there who went and like promised all this shit, and then they're going to come back home and people are going to ask, well, what the fuck do you do? Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get to the presidential race.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we're in sort of a lull between we had Maine and we don't have Arizona and Michigan for a little while. It's a longer gap than we've had so far.
Right. What is Super Tuesday again?
March, the first week of March or so.
The first week of March, right? Yeah.
So
it's still a couple of weeks away. Okay. So.
So right now, all the action is on Michigan and Arizona. However, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. Everybody's ignoring Arizona. And part of the reason is, of course, in the latest, there have been very sparse polling, but it looks like Romney's pretty decently ahead, although his lead has gone down a little bit. But
is Arizona a primary or a caucus?
Arizona is a primary and it's winner take all, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I'm mystified that people are completely ignoring it. Michigan, on the other hand, is everybody's attention is there because Santorum has been leading in the polls, and they're like, if Romney can't win Michigan, then what the hell are we doing? And we had one anonymous Republican senator saying, if Romney can't win Michigan, we need to find somebody else.
Here's the thing, and I was going to mention this about the poll. Look, I was looking this morning at the polling on Michigan, right? So the last poll got run, I saw, and maybe correct me if this is wrong, but I looked at Real Clear Politics this morning.
Yep.
It was February 14th, okay, was the last one. So it was 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Now, that February 14th, if you remember, the same thing happened in Florida. It's like the same time after Santorum won all those freaking things all at once. So you get this Santorum surge, okay, because he won those. But, I mean, in this election cycle, 5 days is a freaking eternity right now, okay?
Indeed.
And I'm like, you know, I haven't seen a fresh Michigan poll since then. So I don't know. I mean, I know that those numbers came out all at once that said that Santorum was ahead. But like I said, like Gingrich couldn't sustain that push in Florida. I don't think Santorum can sustain that in Michigan.
Well, and we have had, you know, Romney negative ads happening. Although I haven't heard them at the same, you know, volume, or I haven't been hearing about them in the same volume as I heard about in Florida with Gingrich.
Well, I don't know. Let's face it, we're not there in Michigan. I mean, I saw, remember.
What? Well, no, but I remember, even despite, you know, you're in Florida, but, like,
right.
I was hearing on the news almost every day clips of new negative ads. And,
okay, I see.
And them talking about, oh, my God, look what Romney just said about Gingrich now, you know? And I'm not.
Well, I did see a couple of clips like this week. I was like actually like looking at a whole bunch of them where they were showing like a whole bunch of stuff, how Santorum voted for the bridge to nowhere, Santorum voted for this, Santorum voted for that, you know, blah blah blah. So I did see a good cross section or barrage of those.
There have clearly been a few. It just seems like it's not quite as much as we were hitting in Florida, and not quite as negative. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just not, it doesn't seem quite as vicious so far, but I think you will see, as we approach, it'll probably get more so if Romney's still behind. But I agree.
And one thing we don't know, I don't know what Romney's internal polling numbers say, especially since they're probably getting more up-to-date information than whatever the heck we're looking at right now. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
here's the thing, and This is just Romney being stupid, and Andrew Sullivan had a thing on this earlier too. But, you know, and I've been debating back and forth in a couple places on this as well. But, like, look, Arizona is winner take all. Michigan is a weird, like, hybrid. It depends on congressional districts and all this kind of other stuff. But so probably, even if Santorum wins, Romney will still get some delegates out of Michigan, probably, unless Romney does a blowout.
Right.
And so what that means is that, you know, assuming Romney keeps Arizona, he's still going to win more delegates on that night than Santorum does. He's still going to maintain his lead. Santorum is quite likely not even going to be on a pace to catch up. Like, even and so it's like Romney could be spinning this whole thing as, like, you know, Arizona's important. I'm going to win Arizona. Worst case scenario, even if, you know, Santorum gets a little bit in Michigan, you know, we're still carrying the day. But
Romney has got to be one of the worst front runners we have ever seen in our lives. Okay? I mean, it's just atrocious. Okay? The guy is just
it's just a
freaking, like, foot in the mouth syndrome. Okay? It's just ridiculous. The fact that he has not been able to capitalize on any of the strengths and, like, stuff that you've talked about, it's just been consistent throughout the campaign. I mean, yes, he does have a good political machinery in terms of being able to churn out, like, ads and raising money and whatnot. But my God, is he a bad campaigner? I mean, it's just beyond ridiculous how bad it is. So yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of them.
He has let the narrative build that if he loses Michigan, he's in big trouble. Whereas, he could have just been like, well, whatever, you know, Michigan's important. I'm going to do fine in Michigan. But, you know, I'm concentrating on Arizona right now. You know, and now if he loses Arizona, by the way.
Oh, man.
That would be bad.
That would be very bad.
Like, if he loses Arizona and Michigan, then okay. Yeah.
Right.
And this is the thing, too. Like, a lot of this, you know, I keep going back to the delegate race and, you know, Romney is so far ahead and, you know, like, Santorum needs to be picking up 54% of the remaining delegates in order to catch up and win, and that's...
not gonna happen.
That's a tall order right now. But the thing is, a lot of this is also just it's, again, the momentum play and the media play and how things are spun. So we could have, you know, Romney winning in Arizona and Santorum eking out a really minor victory in Michigan and splitting the delegates, meaning Romney wins the night. But the narrative coming out of that is going to be Romney's in trouble.
Right, absolutely.
Santorum is surging. And then that's the message coming into Super Tuesday. And Super Tuesday isn't like, you know, I read my blog at abelsmay.com. I did a lot of analysis of comparing to 2008. So much more had been done by this time of the year. So people are judging things by the calendar, and we're in mid-February, blah, blah, blah. But in mid-February 2008, over 50% of the delegates had already been allocated. And so, yeah, McCain had wrapped the whole thing up. Right now, we've only got about 10% of the delegates allocated. And not only that, even after Super Tuesday, we'll only have about 35% allocated.
Right.
The calendar is incredibly spread out this year. We won't get to 50% of the delegates done until end of March, early April.
Why has that been the case this campaign? I mean, it looked like every other year we've been trying to do this earlier, right? And then this season around, everything, like, has been pushed out a lot.
I'll tell you what happened. Specifically, the Republicans saw the Obama-Clinton battle and said, you know, having that long process better prepared Obama for the general election, and it helped build the party up over that time period. Let's do the same thing.
Brilliant strategy. Genius.
And so they added more proportional contests, because last time around, almost all of them were winner-take-all.
That's right.
They added more proportional contests, and they spread out the calendar. And so, you know, if they had two strong candidates, then maybe they'd have the same scenario, but they've got four weak ones.
Right, that's the problem. They're all weak. That's the problem.
And so, I don't know. Let's take another quick break. And then I want to... I haven't quite finished with the Republicans yet. I want to talk a little bit about the contraceptive mess they've gotten themselves into. And then maybe we'll skip that other thing and wrap it up. We'll be right back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classics celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Are you okay there?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've just got this cold. It's, you know.
Okay, just checking.
It's not a pleasant cold.
Yeah, well,
you
I
know,
guess, yeah.
Most colds are very pleasant. You know, people sign up for them, they're like, let me go on a cold vacation, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Very enjoyable colds. I've had numerous of those. They've been fantastic. Just a thrill.
Anyway, so one of the issues that has been percolating for the last couple weeks. It kind of started with this thing with Obama changing the policy on contraceptive coverage for hospitals run religious hospitals, like Catholic hospitals and things like that.
Right.
Basically saying that, you know, hey, their insurance policies that they gave to their employees had to cover contraception. And this is, by the way, is not for actual churches or institutions or whatever. It's defined as, you know, even if it's a religious owned institution, if they hire mostly people outside their religion, et cetera, like that, and it's to serve the public, not just members of their own religion. So it's not like the churches themselves have to provide coverage that gives stuff that they didn't like. But it does cover these institutions like Catholic hospitals and such. So there's a big brouhaha around this. Then Obama came up with a compromise that basically said, okay, the hospitals don't have to pay for it, but then the insurance companies have to offer it free, which, of course, ends up having the exact same effect, just calling it slightly different. But the bottom line of all this is this ended up with basically a whole bunch of Republicans going to the mat saying, you know, this is an abridgment of religious freedom and these hospitals need the right to not provide contraception, which, okay, there are, you know, I want to be clear. There are arguments that are legitimate back and forth on the religious freedom issue there. However, the optics of the issue start becoming Republicans are against contraception. and then we have Santorum, one of Santorum's surrogates, one of the guys who specifically has given him millions of dollars for his super PAC, you know, went on TV the other day. And I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but he basically said, back in my day, all the gals had a really good form of birth control. All they needed was some aspirin. They put it between their knees.
I didn't hear that quote. I love that.
Yeah, basically saying you don't need any fucking birth control if you keep your legs together and don't have sex.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And of course, at first Santorum was defending him, you know, it's just a joke. He's backed off a little bit from it too. But then people have dug up things from Santorum, because guess what? Santorum actually is against birth control.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he thinks all birth control is bad.
Right.
And the only reason he is not for making it illegal is it's impractical. He would love to live in a world where birth control was illegal. For that matter, he's on record, yeah, he'd love to be in a world where masturbation was illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta love this guy.
And so, look, so this is the kind of thing we're getting into. Like, okay, you know, the abortion issue is clearly a divisive issue that, you know, the country, there are significant portions of the country and significant people who feel very strongly on both sides of that issue. Birth control is not that kind of issue.
I think the majority of the country is for birth control.
The vast majority of the country has moved beyond any sort of debate on whether birth control is okay many decades ago.
Right.
And that includes Republicans.
Right. That includes Republicans. Yep.
You know, totally. And so, like, the Republicans getting themselves into a situation where this is actually coming up as a point of debate, like, you know, like, Romney's got to be kicking himself. You know, really? Like, there was actually a debate a while back where Romney was asked about a contraception issue, and he was basically like, really? Are we talking about this? You know, and it's just like, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, if you've got Santorum as one of the major players, you're going to have more and more of this sort of wacky stuff coming out where out of pace.
Dude, do you have a digital... Okay, are our old tapes on digital audio tape? I need to find that frickin' Santorum interview.
You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I have no idea whether or not we have a copy of that interview. And like, if I have anything, it's buried in my garage.
Is it on digital audio tape, or what is it in?
No idea.
No, I think
if there even is one. There may not be one.
I thought we taped that
one. Anyway.
All right.
But, you know, it's just, like, really, you're getting into... this is, like, a lesson in how to pick your issues, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, this is just ridiculous.
And along those lines, just this weekend, Santorum was also quoted as you know, saying, you know, Obama doesn't sound like a real Christian to me. Because, you know, what he's doing isn't based on the Bible.
Huh?
And then, you know, someone dug up some interviews he did a number of years ago where he basically said Protestants weren't real Christians either.
That's going to play very well in the U.S.
Well, specifically, you know, you don't need, like, Protestants in Republican primaries, I don't think, do you?
No, not particularly, no. No. He can win with just the Catholic vote, I'm sure.
You know, because, you know, those evangelical Christians don't have any say at all in the Republican Party.
No, not at all. I mean, they're not, you know, that's a very small group. Forget about it.
So, anyway, just to finish this up, you know, the talk is still about, you know, Romney trying to lock this up. In my comparison to 2008, by the way, if you look instead of at the calendar, but at how many the percentage of delegates allocated so far, Romney actually is much better off at this point in the campaign than McCain was. You know, this point, when we had 10% of the delegates allocated or so, McCain and Romney were neck and neck 4 years ago. This time, Romney is way far ahead of his competition. So he's actually better off than he was before. So all of these, you know, hyperventilating about, you know, oh my God, he's not closing the deal, blah, blah, blah. It's really premature. It's because the calendar is stretched out the way it is. We haven't had Super Tuesday yet.
Right.
Super Tuesday will clarify a lot of things. But even then, Super Tuesday is a lot smaller than it was 4 years ago. So this may well stretch out till the end of March, beginning of April. Whatever. It's because they intentionally spread out the calendar. It's not because Romney is doing really badly compared to where McCain was 4 years ago. It's because the calendar is spread out.
Right.
Now, having said that, you know, if we're past Super Tuesday and Romney's still not consistently getting over 50% of the delegates, then I think it is legitimate to start talking about these other scenarios, like what happens if we get to the convention without him having a majority. But we're still premature now. Because I think what's going to happen, look, he's going to win Arizona. He's going to get some delegates out of Michigan, even if he doesn't win. And honestly, he might win Michigan still. He's got time to make this up. And he's got time to slam negative
ads. Like I mentioned, that's why I mentioned that. I think he's got a very good shot at winning Michigan.
Yeah.
I think it was just the polling data and the dates that it was taken. It just showed that, you know, that little surge of interest with people Santorum. You know, just give it a few weeks, and I think definitely that he'll be.
If he wins Arizona and Michigan, then the narrative will be completely different coming into Super Tuesday, and he'll and then, you know, it's just a question of wrapping it up. But again, if he keeps stumbling, and Romney has shown a great tendency to shoot himself in the foot and do really stupid things. If he does lose Michigan, the narrative is going to be horrible going into Super Tuesday from him, and he's going to be vulnerable. If he loses Arizona, then all bets are off.
Oh, man. And, yeah, then he's really in trouble. Yeah. But I don't think that that's a likely scenario. That's my thought. So
I think you're probably right. Why don't we wrap it up? Okay.
You broke up on my end. What did you last say?
I said, why don't we wrap it up?
Oh, let's go ahead. Let's do it. Sorry.
No, but we can save talking about stings for some other time, which is different than talking about Sting.
Just to clarify. Very different. Right.
Anyway, thank you for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner. Sorry for the interruptions and such. We'll be back again next week as usual. In the meantime, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts. And we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.